Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
TIC. So, here we go. Governor Dunn, we take over. He did say something remarkable, though. He did say that, I don't quite understand what the policy is now. If you are from Connecticut and in Connecticut, does that make you subject to a fine? I don't get how that works, but they did say that the numbers are getting high enough in the state that the state is now getting high enough, dangerous enough, that it would be put on the travel ban list for the state.
We don't know about the status of their contagiousness and having them expose.
Sorry. I think I lost the right spot. 860-522-9842, rant line coming up. Patty Naugatuck, hi.
Hi, Todd. I wanted to talk about the president, and I wanted to suggest that two issues I think are enormously important that the president could win back a lot of the independents, which are 10%, and the seniors. And the first one in regard to the suburbs, it's the social engineering. It's called the Affirmatively Further Fair Housing. It is actually federal bureaucrats will be taking over the suburbs. They take over the schools. They take over zoning. They will restrict property size to a very small lot.
Yeah. Well, what's the other issue?
And the other issue is to remind the seniors that they took $716 billion, which is now $800 billion, out of Medicare to put under the Affordable Care Act, which they're hoping to make Medicare for all. Medicare for all means that they are going to have Medicaid for all, because Medicare relies on the private sector to balance the books. They take from the Medicare.
But the senior vote's been going in the other direction. Seniors are moving away from Trump, and I don't see any.
If he brings it back, he could actually explain to the people the ones who are going to get the care are the young and not the old, because it'll be Medicaid for all, and they take away from.
He could try. It's just getting very late. That's why I thought that the. Thank you for the call, Patty. That's why I thought the debate a couple of weeks ago was so important. And with regard to the Affordable Care Act, it's been around for what? Decade. I don't know that either of those things, especially since they're not being marketed by the president, I don't know how they're going to penetrate. I'm sorry to resist the idea that a Trump miracle is going to come down, but I haven't heard something that lines up with reality for me as of yet. Just me. 860-522-9842. WTIC, it is that smorgasbord of a 5 o'clock hour that we call the rant line hour. And Michael Leibowitz often drops in for a little comment from Osborne. So let's do that first. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Todd. Good evening to you. So you asked a question yesterday that's had me thinking ever since yesterday. You asked
what was that?
The question you asked was, what could the framers of the Constitution done better, or what did they miss?
Yes.
You know, what could they have done to prevent what we have today? So I think they should have not included the Commerce Clause. They should have not included the Necessary and Proper Clause. They should not have granted the government the power to lay and collect taxes. And finally, I wouldn't have allowed for slavery, even if it meant for a break with the southern states. Now, there's no guarantee that would work. But
well, they wouldn't have been able, without slavery, they wouldn't have been able to create the country, would they?
Well, they would have been able to have a confederation in the north, and they would have had a far greater moral standing going forward. And, you know, we're still reaping the results of slavery to this day. I think if they who were against it would have taken a stand then, we'd be in a better position now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think the Commerce Clause is certainly that's where everybody is driven, you know, big trucks through the constitutional protections.
Yeah, originally it was just meant to make commerce free throughout the states, but it's been abused so badly since then. And the anti-federalists actually foresaw that that would happen, so it wasn't like it was a big secret. So I think if we just stayed away from that and the others, would have been better off, but probably not perfect.
All right, Michael. Good to
hear
from you.
Todd.
Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. We'll get to rants in just a moment, but let's get Adam in from East Hartford and get get reestablished here with our election topic. Hey, Adam.
Todd, again, I really appreciate the show and your brilliance on picking these things, but I got to ask you, too. I mean, I'm a Republican, and I want to see the Republican win, but with Trump, there's a big part of it is strange behavior during the pandemic, too, because you were thinking that his manners or lack of manners during the debate didn't help, right?
Well, I wouldn't call it manners. He was just off the wall with his approach, and it was, you know, it just didn't work. Whatever he was trying to do,
right,
it didn't make anything positive happen for him.
Like Hannity, he saw that Sean Hannity was on TIC 1080 at 10. He thought that it was a street fight, but it really wasn't a street fight. It was more like a balloon toss that gone wrong or a juggler gone wrong, right?
Well, it just didn't work.
No. What about, coming up out of the water, you know, right during the pandemic and saying, don't let this thing dominate you?
That's very reminiscent of what the British government was marketing during World War II during the bombings. It was stay calm and carry on. I just think that Trump says things like that and doesn't put them into context. But if he said, the meaning of that is, look, this is a long-term thing. Therefore, we can't shut down and hide over the long term because then people will be dying from starvation instead of dying from the virus. What we have to do to properly fight the virus is to thread the needle, maintain the highest possible levels of economic activity while we maintain the best protections against the virus. And that's the ballgame of this thing politically. If he could just say that, he'd be fine with what he said the other day, I think, with the position he's taking. Don't you?
No, you called it right in the morning. You should have been one of his handlers. Really?
He won't be handled. This is the issue. He doesn't like to listen to people. He likes to follow his own counsel. And for the first 4 years of his political career, that worked great. And the last year, it's kind of fallen apart on him. And that's the sad thing. We'll get to the rant line calls in just a moment. Rant line time. Running a little late getting the rant line started, actually.
Hi, Todd. Please, please don't discourage the voters.
I'm not discouraging
anyone. We all still need to get out and vote for President Trump.
Yes, exactly.
Some might not vote if they think it's over. I know you're being honest with your feelings, but please, please don't discourage the voters.
Well, nothing's over till it's over. I'm not discouraging them. I'm motivating them. Because now they know they've really got to turn out to vote. The pressure is on.
Pat, I think it would be great if one of the commentators in a future debate just simply asked to each presidential, what is the platform of the party's more liberal factions, meaning Biden? What does he remember, or what does he know about the Democratic Party most liberal factions, their platform? I wonder if he could even come up with them. Thank you very much. You're the best.
Well, thank you. Asking Biden to remember something, that just seems like, that's a good trap to set for him. But he doesn't, nobody running for president really cares about these ideological things except to figure out where they stand. Like, they don't care about policy. You know what they like best? You know what their favorite thing is? An issue like abortion that goes on for decades doesn't get resolved. An issue like racism, the Democrats' favorite thing. They love talking about racism because how do you solve racism? What exactly is the policy response? There isn't one. But they get to keep using it to establish which side they're on.
Todd, I don't know who's paying you to keep saying that Biden's going to win. He's not. Get your head out of your tuchus and wake up.
Well, listen, it's a matter of opinion. And there's only two things that potentially are going to happen here. It's binary. Trump wins, Biden wins. I'm on the other side of the binary, and all the evidence is on my side. And all I'm asking is for people to consider the fact that all of the evidence is that Trump is going to lose. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not happy about people being deluded or being emotionally committed to seeing things through distorted glasses. Why is that? Why are you so excited about that? You're the person who is so adamant that Trump is going to win, even though there's no evidence to support that. Why does that make you proud?
Todd, I don't know who's paying you to keep saying that Biden's going to win. He's not. Get your head out of your tuchus and wake up.
I do love that he used the word tuchus, which I think is a Jewish, Yiddish word.
Of course, the mainstream media wants everyone to believe that, oh, don't bother voting. Why should we vote? Biden's going to win. And here we have you harping every day. Biden's going to win. Biden's going to win. Trump's losing. Trump losing.
No, that's you. You just said it more than I've said it. And one of the reasons I'm talking about it today is because of you. It's just so weird. I just mentioned it yesterday as an aside. I think I spent 20 seconds on it yesterday.
Give it a rest, buddy. You're wrong.
Well, good. If I'm so wrong, and you know so well that I'm so wrong, what are you worried about? Just sit there and chuckle about how the landslide. How much is Trump going to win by? 5 points, 10 points, 15 points? What do you think?
Todd, you sly fox. Pull the money quote if you like. This is Ben from Line. Here's my rant.
I don't know what he said either.
How magnanimous of our esteemed senior senator to share a rare glimpse of candor today. With deferential apologies for my paraphrase, I heard Senator Blumenthal declare that the reason his opponents are trying to rush the Supreme Court confirmation is that they want to achieve in the judicial branch what they cannot accomplish in the legislative.
Yeah, that's pretty
funny. What a wonderful definition of judicial activism. Thanks, Senator, and thank you, Saul Alinsky.
That was pretty performative, wasn't it? Yeah, Blumenthal was on today. Oh, man, is he a piece of work. He is a piece of work. 860-522-9842. If you want to come on live, you can. Rant line, 860-751-4698.
You keep trying to reinvent the wheel.
I think this is about me yesterday talking about the country and what you could do. The same thing Leibowitz was calling about. What could you do to, in retrospect, if you go back to the designing of our Constitution, what could you do to make it better protected from the plunderers? I mean, the founders knew that it was a long shot to get the country to stick because they were trying to create a country that protected us, a government that protected us from the government. And nobody had ever done such a thing. And they knew that it would take a certain vigilance on our part to protect what they had created. And we've now failed. We now have a government that's the exact opposite in design of what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a small federal government. It was supposed to be, we keep our money, we keep our power, and we don't give it to the government. And we've got, the state government is $150 billion in debt. That is, for all the riches that have been bestowed upon the state over the last 70 years, we should be sitting back just laughing over how rich we are with the most beautiful infrastructure and a thriving economy. And instead, the state government has robbed us of $150 billion. So for all that, we don't even have nothing. We have debt. And the federal government is even worse. 860-522-9842. Dave in Torrington. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to touch a little bit about what was talked about this afternoon about polls and whatnot, and how Trump was always in the back. As a layman, what do we have to believe as far as who's running these polls, and are they partisan by doing them? I mean, are they just throwing fake news out there? And one of the other things I just wanted to say was when Trump came down with the COVID, Senator Murphy couldn't wait to jump on the fact that it's Russian collusion is going to take over his campaign. And he stated that. So I just, you know, who do we believe anymore? Our senators in Connecticut are so far gone and out there.
You're right about the senators. They're a joke. You should ignore them except to keep track of what they're doing in sort of a disconnected way. The polls, I believe, we had a pollster on Thursday last week so that we could get to the bottom of this issue a little bit. And what we heard from him, he's just one. But we heard a very convincing guy talking about how they are very serious about what they do, that they get ratings, they belong to an association that they get thrown out of if they're not following certain norms of polling. And my take on the polls is that they're very accurate, but they're not predictions of the future. They're photographs of what's going on at a particular moment in time. And we have to understand them. You can't just look at what's reported in the headline. You've got to actually look at the polls and see what they tell you about the election, not just who's leading, but why they're leading. That's my take on it anyway. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you, Dave. All right, let's get a little traffic update. We'll talk more. We've got more Rant Line coming up after news. It's Rant Line time. We've got a couple more rants in. Then we've got Tom Scott coming up. A lot of people think the most glorious moment of the week. It just could be the biggest fun we have all week.
You keep trying to reinvent the wheel. And it's not a question of reinventing the wheel. It's a question of improving the wheel.
No, I disagree. This is about the country and the fact that it was designed to be small government, capitalist, individual rights, liberty-based, and we're now chasing a Soviet-style government. And that's not about tweaks in my mind. That's about tragedy.
Getting more parties involved, more input from other folks, whether it's term limits or less taxation or whatever.
Yeah, well, dramatically less taxation and government spending. So how do we get the plunderers in Hartford to stop plundering? How do we get the $30 trillion of debt in Washington undebted? How do we straighten those things out with little tweaks?
Hey, Todd, this is Valerie Ann in Unionville. This is regarding to all of those able-bodied people that want free stuff. I have a physical disability, and I was laid off from work, and to be honest with you, I would rather go back to work, busting my butt for pennies a day if I had to.
Well, you're right. That's a much better way to live your life, and you feel proud of yourself and productive, and you don't feel like one of the destroyers, part of the Democratic machine that's determined to destroy the American system of government.
Yeah, hello, Todd. My rant is that this Republican virus that's going around.
Oh, stop it. This is silliness.
Hello, all students, no matter how old you are. If you have student debt, that's your problem.
That's
if
right.
If you really need to have the debt forgiven, you go back to the college and you get your money back from them. American taxpayers had paid for your education, the student loan.
That's right.
We are tired of paying. And now we're supposed to forgive the debt. Nothing is free. Nothing is free.
Yeah, well, see, John's left over from another era when nothing was free. But now everything's free. That's how the Democrats, that's the conversion of the country right there. 860-522-9842. We got a little traffic update. We've got the great Tom Scott coming up. Well, here we go. It's time for Young Tom Scott. Hello there, Tom. Nice to have you here. Let me try pushing that button again. Sorry we didn't get you on the air. Hey, Tom.
How you doing, Todd?
Nice to have you around. What are you inspired by this week? Have you been watching the hearings?
Well, I watched the opening on both days just to see what the tone would be. And, of course, there was bloviating Blumenthal, once again embarrassing himself and our state with his ridiculous line of questioning and his statements. But I'll tell you, the last time I was on, Todd, we talked about both Connecticut U.S. senators from here, and they're both in the news again today. Blumenthal, because of his antics on the Judiciary Committee during the confirmation hearing, but secondly is Chris Murphy. And God help us, if we needed another reason to vote against Joe Biden, the Politico, which is one of those Washington papers, reported today that Chris Murphy is under consideration by Joe Biden for Secretary of State, if God forbid he becomes president. And not only that, would that be an embarrassment now to the world, not just to the rest of the country, but he'd be fourth in line of succession to the presidency, right behind the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate.
Wow. That is quite a thing to behold.
And what does that say about Biden and his team and the dearth of talent in the Democratic Party and the lack of men and women of great stature in the Democratic Party, that a guy like Chris Murphy's name would be floated and there wouldn't be a good laugh all around? Nobody's laughing. This is very serious in Democratic circles. I mean, Murphy, who blamed Trump, not China, for the COVID-19 pandemic, as you remember. Murphy, who for a very long time has been a member in good standing of the Blame America First crowd, he's the guy that went around the president and talked to the Iranians and basically said, our president is wrong. I mean, you can just see it now. The Ayatollahs are no doubt having a prayer group as we speak, praying for Biden so they can get Murphy and his Secretary of State.
But why would I mean, Murphy's not a serious person. He's a political hack. Why would they even float his name?
Lack of talent in the Democratic Party. lack of vision, lack of statesmen, lack of people. I mean, I can name Democrats, as I did the last time I was on your show, right here from Connecticut, who in our lifetime were Americans first and Democrats second. People like the great Tom Dodd, Senator Abraham Ribicoff, Senator Joe Lieberman. These were all Democrats who loved their country, who understood the threat of communism and understood the threat of tyrants like the Ayatollahs posed to the world and to that region. And the fact that Murphy's name would even be floated in a serious way just shows you how little talent, how little vision, how little gravitas there is in the National Democratic Party today.
And what's that all about? Why is it so thin, do you think? Is it because it's become so pathologically ideological?
Yes, but it's also been influenced dramatically by these young radicals in the Democratic Party who are not old-style liberals. I mean, Joe Biden is an old-style liberal, obnoxious, wrong in many ways, but not a socialist and not skating on the edges of Marxism. But there are people now who have been elevated to positions of credibility in the Democratic Party who actually believe in Marxist theory, who believe in a utopian society anchored by socialistic ideas. This is real stuff. And the fact that the national press doesn't even invite a conversation about what America would look like if we had the same policies as, say, Venezuela, is kind of stunning. But it says a lot about what's happened to the national press and media as well.
I don't even know how to explain that. It's so ridiculous. I assume that this movement towards socialism is that it's easier for the plunderers because they're announcing and convincing everybody up front that they should get to steal a much larger percentage of the fruits of the people's labor to do whatever they want with, you know, to rig elections or to not have elections, whatever. But I don't know why anybody would seriously think that big government and socialist ideas and formats for building a society are productive for anybody but the people who run the government.
Well, Todd, a lot of this has to do with education, in my opinion. The people who were running the teach-ins at Berserkly years ago, back in the 1960s, who have now taken the reins of a lot of these left-wing nonprofits and academia and government, they're mainstream now. And these people hate America. They always have. They've always wanted to tear down America. That was their ultimate goal. And now their presence in the classroom is much more pronounced than it ever was. You know, I've got teenage sons, and they've got a lot of friends, and you know, they're very diverse in terms of their opinion. But I'm continually amazed when I talk to young people, including people in my own family and extended family, the level of ignorance among young people, and I'm talking about not just people in their teens, but in their 20s and 30s,
sure,
who have no concept of the founding principles. Their minds have been so poisoned, often by omission, often by what we leave out of the conversation in our classrooms today, not just the actual propaganda that our young people have been pummeled with for years, but the lack of information about why this country is what it is and why we are the shining city on the hill and the greatest and freest country in the history of the world. We've lost basically big percentages of two generations now who don't understand why America needs to be defended and praised from the hilltops on a daily basis. And that's a serious structural problem we have in society today.
All right, Thomas, anything else you want to get off your chest?
Well, I would just say, you know, watch these absentee ballots in Connecticut, because by all estimates, about 90% of the people that are voting absentee are doing it for the very first time. And just mm-hmm. make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's and get your ballot in if that's your choice. And don't let anybody knock on your door asking for your ballot. Anybody that does that, except for an elections official, a policewoman or man, or a home health care worker or an immediate member of your family, anybody else is a criminal. So if anybody comes to your door looking for a ballot, make sure you get their identification to the extent you can and call the police. They are criminals.
All right, Tom Scott, great to talk with you. We'll see you again next week.
Anytime.
Thank you, sir. That is Tom Scott, former state senator, and he spent 10 years in the state Senate. And he helps people win elections, stuff like that. Herman calling from Hartford. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Herman. Hold on one sec. I've just got to do a weather forecast here. All righty. Now we can take some calls. Sorry about that, Herman. Hello. Go ahead.
This is Herman from Hartford. I'm calling regarding the Trump versus Biden election. I'm a huge Trump fan, but I believe Biden will win. And I think the reasoning is the Bernie supporters who didn't come out and vote for Hillary propelled Trump to the presidency. I believe they've been waiting 4 years to come out to vote. And my aunt and my mother from Newton, Mass., who are avid Trump fans also, mm-hmm. have are preparing them for a Biden win, unfortunately. But the big difference in this election was the loss by the Kennedy in Massachusetts. That shows you the change that's going on right now in the Democratic Party.
In terms of the commitment to radicalism, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, very interesting. You're an interesting guy, Herman. Where you been?
Well, I've been quarantined because I'm in the nursing home business. And also, I got my name from John Rowland when he did the radio show because I mm-hmm. called in as Herman from Hartford, and he goes, "Welcome aboard, Herman Cain." That's just when Herman Cain was running for president.
Yeah.
And I also think this reminds me a lot of the Bush-Clinton election, you know, when a lot of people were getting tired of Bush, and Clinton really came out of nowhere. And I actually was a huge Bush fan. And all of a sudden, on election day, Clinton won. And I was going to comment on my disappointment with Bush, but everyone I started talking to was a Clinton fan. So I learned quickly that elections can change very quickly.
Well, they can, yes. Thank you, Herman. Great to hear from you. I hope you'll call again soon. R.P. Wallingford. Hello, R.P.
Hello, Todd. Question.
Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you. I know I've been a little absent lately. I'm trying to peel myself away from this because the concept of Biden, you know, being ahead in the polls is just makes my head want to explode.
It's disturbing.
Now, I want to ask you, I know you're good friends with Pastor Will. He seems to think Trump's going to win in a landslide, and you think that he's going to lose. Now, I understand. I've listened to you. Why, you know, obviously he's down in the polls, and that's why you think he's going to lose. But why do you think Pastor Will thinks he's going to win?
I don't know. We haven't discussed it. I think that my guess would be, this is just a guess, that Will's a cheery, optimistic guy who is, looking at the bright side, maybe seeing the cup as half full.
I thought you were, Todd. You always tell me no negatives.
Well, that's true. I am an optimistic guy, but in this case, I just feel overwhelmed by the data, the incoming data. So I don't see any. Yeah, go ahead.
What I want to ask you is, if you look at Biden, okay, he's a terrible candidate in terms of he has no energy, he has no personality whatsoever. He's very abrasive, right? So he's not likable, number one. His policies are god-awful. They're going to bring us in the wrong direction, right? He's corrupt. He's corrupt as they come. So how could anybody, I don't care what Trump did in the first debate, I don't care how you think he should have done this or should have done that, there is such an enormous difference between these two. One is good, one is terrible. How could anyone not come up with the proper conclusion? you got to explain.
Well, because – so I love how you've set it up, because that's exactly the dynamic that isn't driving this election. Nobody is looking at it as a comparison between those two candidates. What they're looking at is they've had 5 years of this media frenzy that's instilled a sense of disturbance and chaos into the culture. And people just want an end to that. They don't want politics taking up so much space in their heads.
But at the expense of their own paycheck and their own job and their security.
Nobody's thinking beyond that. No, they're not thinking about those things. They're just thinking, I can't stand it anymore.
How could someone not think about those things?
Because they've been, it's like this tidal wave of chaos has come through. And all they want to do, they're not thinking about who the better candidate is, because they don't care. They just want an end to the chaos. They're being told the world is horrible because of Trump. It's been going on long enough. Now they believe it. What are you going to do?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.